For taking the ride on the Freedom Train podcast series. I am your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me, my homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. Remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PACS, Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PACS, Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. While you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about myself, Patrick, and all of the other shows and the great hosts of the shows that we have going on. Quick reminder for our weekly lineup: every Monday, you know, you get the Fix Sports podcast. Every Tuesday, you get the Block and Nickel podcast with Darnell Durden. Every Wednesday, you get this lovely show right here, the Freedom Train podcast series. You also get the live showing of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert. Every Thursday, you get Lessons from the Screen, hosted by Patrick Irvin. Every Friday, you get the podcast of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Tolbert. Every Saturday, you get the Tea Time Black Women Talk podcast, as well as the On the Shoulders of Giants podcast. And we have many, many, many more podcasts coming soon. Pat!
What up?
When I yell at you, you answer quicker. Pat. Are you gonna
what
be
up?
Stubborn? You're gonna be stubborn. Tell them, hey, I know I ain't get to the social media yet, but I'm gonna get back to that. But I'm kinda excited about today because we got Dominique and KG on the line with us to talk about black women.
Why not tonight?
Going down, and because I'm telling you about one of the upcoming shows that we have. It's gonna be called Wine After Nine, and two of the young ladies that's on the show with us today, part of this show. They're gonna be holding it down on the Wine After Nine, holding it down, right?
Hey Joe, hold on, I'm sorry.
You said that like a real Texan.
Hey, there it is.
So I was listening to The Fix last week.
Okay.
And we're gonna bring the ladies in. Because you've been messing up. That's not very gentlemanly of you to do that, the what you've been doing. But anyways.
What I did.
I was listening to The Fix last week. And you said that you was my mama's boyfriend.
What?
See, you the type of person that don't know how to take that. If it applies to your mother, because I'm somebody's mama's boyfriend sometimes at some point in somebody's life. So, I don't know what you took out of that, but hey.
I just thought it was interesting because I was like, my mama married, though, so.
So, it ain't your mama.
But you just said your mama's boyfriend.
See, but you took that literally because you technical Ted.
Whatever. So, why not the nine? We got who we
going
got on
down.
The show,
Joe. Hey, so, we have Ms. Dominique Thompson and KT Bryant on our show. Hey,
right.
Man, we're going to make sure we show y'all some love straight from Texas.
We got to give her a nickname. You can't be throwing her government out like that.
Dynamite. Dynamite. I don't know. Young Texas. Young Houston.
Dom.
I don't know.
Okay.
Dom. Okay. She represent UGK. All the way from Texas. Then we got KG come from the East Coast, from VA, and they are going to be the host
really
of
the East Coast, though?
Well, it's VA. It's on the East Coast.
VA is definitely East Coast.
I mean, the Atlantic right there.
You know. We right on the East Coast.
Well, if you ask me, they not the South
the
to
East
me.
Coast,
but they call it the South.
I know, but like, I mean neither, because, you know, we down here in the bottom. I don't call them the South. They up north, south. But.
They, they always call us the northern tip of the South, but we still got them same old good old boy southern rules, and we still got a little bit of the southern hospitality left. So we have to be part of the South.
The northern tip of the South. That sounded a little dirty.
Actually, it's the northern the northern tip. Uh-huh.
Don't hey, Maryland, that
we a little dirty down here too.
Ain't Maryland in the north?
Maryland.
Now, when that see, I thought Maryland was more more northern than. I don't think Maryland is considered the South at all.
It is. What is it? Anything below this, the southern the Mason
the Dixie line, right?
Mason Dixie line. Yeah.
Hey, well. All right. Whatever. So,
you know,
hey, but real quick.
Florida,
yeah. Real quick, social media handles. Make sure y'all follow us on Instagram at Freedom Train Network. Follow us on Twitter at Freedom Train Net. You know, YouTube, the Freedom Train Network. Facebook, Freedom Train Network. We're on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher at the Freedom Train Network. That's where you can catch all of our shows that we got going down. So, as y'all know, we're wrapping up our Black Women Celebration Month, but we also want to make sure that we dedicate another one of our shows to Black Women Celebration. So that's why we have KG and Dom on the track with us today, on the show with us today. And some of the things we're going to discuss, as you know, Stacey Abrams just won the Democratic nomination thingy for Georgia as far as the governor's race. So we kind of want to kind of get their thoughts about Stacey Abrams, want to get their thoughts about the achievement of Black women, even though Black women have been facing adversity like forever in America. So get their ideas on just the excellence of Black women as well as Black women being able to achieve in the face of adversity. Also kind of get their ideas on the role that Black women do play in helping the society get better, but it's not necessarily Black women's job to save America, because Black women ain't mess America up, so it ain't their job to save that. So we're going to get their thoughts on that. So kind of want to start with this Stacey Abrams.
Hey, hold on.
Huh?
Because I just looked it up.
What?
Because I'm silly.
What you looked up?
If we going by the Mason-Dixon line, Delaware is the South, too.
Oh,
ain't nobody think about no Delaware. We don't even respect Delaware.
I think we
Delaware is a little southern.
Yeah, it's actually right by D.C. It's just over to the east.
Dominique, tell them that's not real south.
No.
I don't think it's fair for us to have to pass y'all southern test, because y'all are extremely southern.
Hey, man.
Exactly.
Well, I think we should just stick with, like, the Confederate states. So who owned slaves?
Yeah, that would be us. We were here first.
Outside of,
y'all started all off, huh?
Yeah, we are the original savages.
Of course, we still got to exclude Missouri and Kentucky.
Why we got to exclude? I don't know if we can exclude them.
They had Confederate reenactments every weekend. I was like, what in the hell? Like, why every Saturday morning do I have to wake up and see this? Like, y'all lost.
Wait, where were you at?
In Virginia, Spotsylvania. Virginia.
Oh, yeah, Virginia is southern. Virginia is the South.
Yeah.
I'm just questioning, like, Delaware, Maryland. Missouri is too middle. Missouri is the middle, the Midwest.
They like country, but they not southern.
Yeah, that's Midwest.
Yeah, Missouri is Midwest. Kentucky is just mid.
Yeah. All right. So.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I know. So move over to the state of Georgia. So as you know, Stacey Abrams she's in the Democratic seat as far as the person who's running for the seat of the governor of the state of Georgia. And she's the first Black woman to be able to win this position, to be in this space, to be able to potentially be the governor of the state of Georgia. Now, I admit, I didn't really know who Stacey Abrams was until somebody sent me a text the other day and was like, hey, I was a part of a mass text, and a couple people that I know live in Atlanta, and the text was like, hey, y'all voting today. So my question was like, what are we voting for? Is it national? Is it Georgia? That was like, for the Georgia race. And they started telling me about Stacey Abrams. Then I started doing a little bit of homework, things like that. But I kind of want to get y'all ladies' thoughts on Stacey Abrams, her being able to be in this position, and just overall what you all think about this, and how does this kind of help or hurt black women?
I'm happy when a black woman gets anything. She could have won the nomination to be a crossing guard, and I'd have been happy. But I guess I have very little faith in politicians, regardless of the gender or the race. So I don't know if it's going to – the representation is important, but I don't know if it's going to do a whole lot for Georgia if she ends up becoming governor. I mean, it's a good look, but I don't think we should look to her to be our savior, kind of like the whole Obama thing. It's like it was a great look, but don't expect her to come in and save the state of Georgia. But they already given her the black woman's treatment, because I just read a headline where they're saying her sister is married or engaged to be married to some man that has 26 years in prison. And I'm like, what the hell I got to do with her?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what that has to do with her, and then her whole student loan thing.
Yeah, I know.
So that was the problem.
That's stupid.
And she owes $50,000 in taxes, which is, I mean, it's normal. Student loans are a normal American problem, so I didn't really see a big deal with that. I guess I'm just holding my breath. I'm happy for her, but I'm not expecting a whole lot.
Okay.
I think I feel like Dominique. I'm cool. Like, I just heard about it because I sort of disengaged from anything political after we did what we did in the presidential election. I just want to sort of turn it on and wait until 2020. It just doesn't go anywhere at this point. So it will be seen whether she's even going to be given the chance to do anything good, if she is going to do something good. And her being or winning this doesn't necessarily say that she is even going to do anything good. She could say anything. And I don't know what she said or what she didn't say, to be honest. But I know, you know, what her platform was like, and I just – at this point, I don't think I trust anything. I don't, you know, I'm waiting to see. I'm hoping, because Georgia is definitely in need of some perspective changes, I guess, is the most polite way I can say it. They definitely are bad by that same good old boy tendency that I was saying Virginia has, and to me, in Georgia, it's worse. So I don't know that she will really even be able to do anything. I'm hopeful, but I'm not expecting. Like, I don't expect anything to come from it.
So,
yeah,
well,
I feel the same way.
Well, let me ask this, because, of course, we're all waiting to see what happens next. Of course, we're all waiting to see if she actually wins and all these things. But just as far as just, if we're just talking about image and representation, because within the last week or two, we've seen Megan get married to the prince dude, then we've seen Zip.
Stop it.
And I'm not.
Stop it.
I'm not.
Stop
no,
it.
No. So you ain't even let me finish. Come on, bro. You know me better than that. You know me better than that. Now, I'm not saying that the Megan thing is something that's good, but it's something that did happen, that people did see, that people tried to push as, hey, this is for black women. Of course, you know, I disagree with that. Of course, you know that. But it's just, what do you think Right. But what do you think about Stacey Abrams, her being able to see that? Do you think that will have a positive effect on the representation that black women see of themselves or as others see on black women?
Absolutely, especially with younger girls. I never even considered, I guess when I was growing up, it wasn't even a thought that I could possibly be in politics. Because when I was growing up, the only black woman that you really heard about in politics was freaking Barbara Jordan, you know what I mean, who was 40 years old, you know, older than me. It just wasn't something that I guess I even thought about doing. So young girls now, young black girls, that's important. They can see her and know that this is something that they can strive to. So even if, I mean, hopefully she does win, and if she wins and and it doesn't necessarily turn Georgia around like people want, you know, they want it to, then a 12-year-old that's watching her right now can say, hey, you know, this is something that I want to do when I grow up, and she might be that change. So for me, it's good for the younger girls to see. Representation is important. Kind of like the whole thing that happened with Hidden Figures, and you start seeing all these black girls doing these STEM programs. So that part of it is, you know, the visual.
I think it depends on how it's handled, because it just like I hadn't heard about it until Joe brought it to my attention. I don't see that most of the girls, like let's say the little girls that I teach, I don't see them even hearing about this. So I think if it's not something that black people take over to spread, it's going to be a good thing for girls in Georgia because they will know about it. But I'm not sure that her representation will be so widely known that it's even going to have an effect on anybody outside of Georgia.
Yeah, I can see that. I guess that's when it comes to what mom and daddy are teaching in the house.
Right. I think that's the point I was trying to make. Basically, is her representation and how it affects everybody else would depend on how we handle it. If we pay or if we buy into all of the stuff that you were talking about, you know, the taxes and the student loans, which if all she got in student loans is that amount, then she beats most of us, because I got more than that just off of getting my licensure for teaching. The student loans, I thought that was a household thing. You know, up until a couple of years ago. So none of that bothers me, but are we going to, she went to jail?
She went to Yale.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, if she went to jail and still did it, then yeah.
No.
I mean, you know, come on now.
She got a brother in jail.
Yeah, that don't have nothing to do with her either.
I think if we handle it and spread it,
then it could be an awesome thing, whether she's able to get done things that help us in that state or not. Just seeing it will make a whole bunch of difference if we put it out there that, hey, this is what happened. Like, I'm going to take it to class tomorrow just because now I know, you know, and I always am looking for ways to get them to see that they don't just have to depend on Cardi B for the come-ups. But If it's not spread, like, you know, my colleagues are not going to do that, you know. They went crazy over America, but they're not going to get, you know, go as crazy over this woman and this one accomplishment that's probably way more important than that video. So I think it comes down to what we hold up as important, you know, how much it affects the kids and what they see. It has to start from us.
That's interesting. Because I never really thought about it from that angle, as it would impact mostly the young girls in Georgia versus the ones nationally, because of course it's the state of Georgia, but if it's not being spread, if the news is not being spread, if people don't know about it, then it's an accomplishment in itself, but it won't be as impactful as it could be, because I mean, only the people in Georgia know about it. I never really thought about it from that angle until you just said that. And I didn't know I was the first person you heard this from, because I thought everybody knew about this.
No, I didn't know anything about it.
But is it really her accomplishment? Because, like, for me, politicians getting elected say more about the people doing the electing than it does about the actual politician. Now, what the politician does once they get elected, that's a whole separate story. So her winning the Democratic nomination, and she won it by a landslide, like she wasn't even close. She had like over 70% of the votes. You know, her winning the Democratic nomination and becoming the first black woman to achieve a major party nomination for governor, is that really something that we could celebrate her for, or is that something we can use as a referendum to say that this is when the situation in Georgia shifted? And is it really even to say the situation in Georgia, or is it to say the situation amongst the Democrats in Georgia? Because Georgia is a red state.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Now, I was reading something earlier when it was questioning whether Stacey had the ability to turn Georgia blue, I know Georgia's, you know, it's racist. Georgia's like one of the most racist states ever, but I don't know about all that being able to turn it blue, but I hope, I mean, just if anything good for black people, I'm hoping for. So that's where I'm at with it. But I hope it is something.
I don't see Georgia being blue.
Yeah. No, I don't either, but.
When Texas turns blue, I just don't see it.
And see, that kind of stuff bothers me because it's one, like, okay, even if she does win Georgia as a governor, she's still going to be dealing with a red state legislature that ain't really going to let her do shit. So that's one component of it. The other component of it is, like, why put all this pressure on her and start talking about all of these possibilities? And, like, you completely overlook the fact that Georgia is a super red state. You completely overlook the way that politics works in general. And you add unnecessary pressure to her campaign. Like, I don't see the benefit of doing stuff like that.
And she's going to be the one that gets all the backlash because what's going to end up happening if she wins, and I feel like she's going to win. When she wins and things don't go the way that people, the black people in Georgia want them to go, she's going to get all the blame for it.
Right.
It's going to, you know, the same way people do Obama. It's like they want that black person in there because they think they're going to come in and wave this magic wand. And it's like, oh, one of us is there now. But there's still processes and procedures that they have to go through. They can't just come in there and totally change things.
They can't change mindset. Even if you can change all the legislature in the world, you can't change that mindset. Georgia is a whole mindset. That flag, that whole feeling that you get when you even ride through anywhere but Atlanta. If you ride through all the little outskirts of around Atlanta, you don't feel what you feel in Atlanta. So I'm not even sure that she's going to win.
You can go 15 minutes outside of Atlanta, and you know, it totally changes.
Yeah, you enjoy
it. I'm not even sure that she's going to win.
Yeah. That was one of my questions.
Was like, will she really win? Because we know Georgia racist as fuck, and it's got a whole lot of.
Yes, they are.
And what, Pat, you say it was 3 million black people in Georgia?
Yeah, for her to win, because the Republican primary actually had a higher turnout than the Democratic primary. So for, even if she got all of the Democrats that voted in the primary to vote and all of the Republicans showed up and voted, she would need some of those Republicans to cross over and vote for her to win. So they either need to do something to create major turnout amongst Democrats in Georgia, and even that by itself won't be enough. They would have to also do something to turn down Republican turnout in Georgia. She's got a tall task for winning.
But look what happened in Alabama. That's what I'm saying. You talking about the Roy Moore situation? Yeah, I can see it. I feel like if they could make it work in Alabama.
Well, they're going to have to get white.
Roy Moore was a white dude, and his opponent was accused of sexual harassment.
Man, them folks don't care nothing about no sexual harassment, and you know that.
That's true.
Yeah, but if we're talking about this with Stacey Abrams, she's going to need white men voting for her as well. Because that's what I'm saying though. But it's like, because and I know we've talked about this on the show before, like because the narrative from that election is that black women won that election, which is totally false, because 15%, like only 15% of black women actually voted for Doug Jones, and 15% of 17% is 98%. So 98% of that 17%, which is 15%, actually voted for Doug Jones. So for him to win, Doug Jones had to get the votes of white men and white women, and that's what helped him. So Stacey dang sure gonna have to get that.
Yeah, she. And if you look at her policy is standard Democratic policy: LGBT, equal opportunity, and occasionally sprinkling people of color.
Criminal justice reform.
So,
but they might be able to get the white LGBT community then.
They are.
If
She could.
No, she's going to get the LGBT. She's going to get the Hispanic, the immigrants, and she's going to get the black people. I just don't think she's going to get enough white people. And that's white men and white women, because let's not forget, half of white women voted for Trump, too.
Yeah. Right. And they're going to vote the way that their husbands vote. Traditionally, that's what they do anyway. They're going to vote how their husbands vote. So, I mean, that population, I mean, I think it's successful.
They should just do like my friend did. She voted for Hillary and told her husband she voted for Trump. I mean, everybody
But I think they honestly, like, I don't even know that it's just they're following their husband's lead. I think they honestly have those viewpoints.
Yeah, I think so, too. When I watched that video of those evangelical Christian white women, and they were talking to them about, you know, all of these sexual abuse cases and things against Trump, and they're like, well, if he, you know, he repented, and I think he really didn't mean it. And I'm sitting like,
yeah.
So, yeah, they believe this. They believe what they want to believe.
Your white Southern evangelical voice was excellent.
I don't think some white women think for themselves. So, I mean, saying that they have those, some women do. Some of them are complete idiots. But I don't think the vast majority of them, yeah, I mean, you got some real idiots. But I don't think that the vast majority of the ones, when I say they vote with their husbands, I'm not talking about the ones who have those viewpoints. I'm talking about the ones who say, honey, who are we voting for this year? And that's what they do. I don't even think a lot of them get involved with politics. To have a view, they just, you know, I have my family and my husband goes to work and I stay home. I got laundry to do today. I don't even think they're thinking about politics at all, because it doesn't affect them.
I would rather you not even vote.
Yeah, I would too.
If you're going to do with your vote, I'd rather you stay at home. Like, don't
but that's my patriotic duty. That's,
well,
you know,
that's
the type of shit they are.
Black people vote. Black people vote with their eyes closed. They just go out there and circle stuff. Just come out.
Black people vote. Black people vote for who they think is the blackest.
Right.
You don't even have to. They don't get into politics either. It's just who's the blackest? Who gonna do something for black people? And I'm still waiting for this black legislation that they want. I still keep looking for somebody to tell me what it means for somebody to do something for black people. What legislation have you ever seen written that says, look, this is for black people only? It's like it's never going to happen.
Well, that's not going
to
happen.
Dr. Claude Anderson wrote the first affirmative action bill in Florida specifically for black people, but we see how that turned out.
Right. They didn't include only black people. It included every minority, which included white women, which is who usually take the most advantage of affirmative action. It included every minority. So it almost didn't count.
I just be looking for specific things when I look at policy. I look for things that are – I'm not looking for a candidate to say this is for black people, because, like, that's never going to happen. And even if it ever did happen, that person becomes unelectable, because you have to have other people vote. It's not enough black people. So I look for stuff like, if you're talking about education – like, I like what she's doing in terms of trying to get the funding away from charter schools and private schools and back to public schools. But I also want to see people talk about curriculums, more inclusive curriculums. I want to see people talk less testing, or less testing that hamstrings the teacher's ability to teach. I look for stuff like that. So when I was scrolling through her policy and reading up on, you know, her record and stuff like that, I saw a lot of stuff that was cool, but I saw a lot of stuff that was also like general, typical Democratic shit that really isn't going to move the needle for us one way or another, which is another reason why it's upsetting to see people putting so much of themselves into her. Because I'm like, if she does, like Dominique said earlier, if she does win, it's not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. And now all of a sudden, running for governor and winning governor has ruined her life and her black card.
I'm going to speak on what you just said in regards to the charter school issue. So that in itself makes me wonder what, and it always does. When people say they want to take the funding away from charter schools and put it back into the public school, I always have to wonder what kind of experience they have with education. Because if you have any... real educational, for real. If you have any education, not you, but especially when it comes to politicians, if you have any educational experience, then the one thing that you know is true is that the public school system as it is and as it's designed is not ever, nor was it ever meant to, service every single person who right. comes through it. Charter schools become necessary because there's always a population that cannot survive and cannot get what they need from that typical public school setting. So I agree with you that it should be more in line with whether the curriculum fit the children. That in itself requires zero funding. To change the curriculum does not require any funding, and it takes right. very little funding to educate a student. The funding that they want and that they are searching for these public schools is not what's messing the public school system up. It's not the funding. It's the quality. You know what I'm saying? And the quality all comes down to what's in the curriculum. So I would hope that before she takes money away from any charter school that could possibly be working, she looks into, you know, what that charter school does. She looks into what the public schools are actually doing, because the reason why they're failing has zero to do with funding and more to do with the quality of the education that the kids are getting and the quality of the materials that they're using to educate those kids.
I agree. Yeah. And you just shut it down. That's what she do, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it goes down.
Wine at the nine going down.
Can we talk about what's really important here?
Go ahead.
Which is?
Why did this lady write 6 romance novels?
Hey, you read that too?
Right.
Because everybody has to eat.
Hey, man, look, yeah. Romance novels sell, and she sold over 100,000.
Everybody got to eat. Everybody got to eat.
Now I got to read one of these books.
Hey, tell me how it goes, because I am not, but I am curious.
I have
to. Well, and trust and believe, they're going to read one of these books, so we all really need to be reading these books, because
that's
somebody's going to read this book running against her.
Right.
Yes, because if the book gets a little too dirty, you know, they're going to be like, in old page 72, she said Tatum grabbed Caleb Stiff's penis. And, yeah, this is who you
are. Right.
Hey, I'm about to
life,
though.
DeAndre entered his pulsating manhood deep inside of Alicia's waiting cave.
And then it's gonna be, how can you be for education when you're writing stuff that, you know, you're writing stuff like this? To be honest, that's probably more sex educational than the sex education they give in the public school system. But that, it is a concern.
What they're gonna say.
You know what's dope about
hilarious.
My books, though? All of them have a black couple on the cover.
Yeah.
All of her books.
See, that's an awesome thing.
Yeah.
That's an awesome thing.
That's good.
The question is, how many black conservatives are they going to be able to get on their side if they really do bring this book up?
That boy, that dude Paris.
All of them. Look, black conservatives, they vote the same way as black Democrats. And it's not even just black. Republicans and Democrats, they vote party line, period. That's why their party is shrinking, because people that vote both ways are no longer wanting to be affiliated with a party. The only downside to that is you don't get a chance to participate in primaries, which makes sense to me. But those of us that are independents, they're trying to figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to vote. But as far as the black conservatives, they're voting party line. It's no question. The same as black Democrats.
Wait, this book actually sounds good.
What's the name of it?
You read
it? Yeah, I need to look it up. Yeah.
What's the name of it?
She got 6
Hidden
of them.
Semen.
Hidden
Semen.
Looking at the picture.
Oh, God.
Hold
we
on.
All
Did
in trouble.
Hidden? Did she say hidden semen?
She said hidden sin, yes.
Hidden sin.
Sin. Okay, my bad.
Okay. Well, hidden sin sounded better. I'd rather read the hidden sin book.
See, you thought it said that too.
I thought it. I did. I was getting excited.
Wait, but she goes by Selena Montgomery on her book title.
Yeah.
That's her pen name.
Yeah.
Selena Montgomery.
What's the good of having a pen name is people are going to, you know,
Yeah, it kind of ruined it if we.
If people gonna know who you are, yeah, you're supposed to let the pen name be the pen name. I thought that was the whole purpose.
See, I want to check out this book called Never Tell.
Did y'all see the looking? I didn't jump topics, but did y'all see that apparently Cardi B's ghostwriter came out and he's saying all this stuff? And I'm like,
oh Lord.
What part of ghostwriter don't people get? Like,
man, this
you're not supposed to get credit for it. You're a ghost.
Everybody trying to be, man, look, people trying to be famous nowadays. Y'all want people to be ghosts. Nope.
They're not reading their contracts. Either that or they're not signing them, because most ghostwriter contracts have NDAs built in. So either they didn't change the structure of the contracts or people ain't reading them. I don't know what's going on.
They got Cardi to sign something. She just put her name on something.
You know that
you're supposed to want to be ghost when you're a ghostwriter. That's the whole purpose of ghostwriting, so nobody knows it's you.
Ghostwriting would be perfect for me.
I love ghostwriting.
In a heartbeat.
Ghostwriting is fun.
Yeah.
Say all the shit I want to say without getting blamed for it.
Uh-huh, without having to take any responsibility for it. It's ultra.
She kissed me.
I didn't hear about that, though. If Cardi B had a ghostwriter, that ghostwriter don't need to say shit. Because if she had a ghostwriter, I was giving her credit for the mediocre lyrics she came out, because I didn't even think she was capable of that. So if she had a ghostwriter, you need to sit your ass all the way down, because that means you ain't even good.
You
could have came better than that.
Ghostwriting in music is a little bit different, though. Like, she might have helped.
You tripping, KG.
Yeah.
Cardi said, if you come with all the subs, bitch, I ain't Jared. That's classic. Come on,
okay.
That's classic. By Jared and Subway. Come on, man.
Okay.
She gonna get a Grammy.
All right.
She gonna get a
I know how I am by my wretched hip hop. I like Cardi B, but she ever.
We know you do.
She has a ghostwriter, and the whole thing is for them to look at her personality. They see she's an ex stripper. She's wretched, and they just write to her personality. The same way with
I can't give Cardi B no credit then. I thought I was getting her credit. If she had a ghostwriter, I can't give her no credit.
Look, you got to figure out how much of the ghostwriter was actually involved, because, like, there are very few rappers out there who have not had a ghostwriter. Snoop Dogg, Jay-Z, there are very few of them that haven't had a ghostwriter.
Jay-Z wrote Steel Joy. I just found that out this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, still.
Oh no, I believe that though. I believe that.
Jay-Z has utilized ghostwriters.
Well, Jay-Z is a beat biter anyway. I ain't trying to be funny. I like Jay-Z, but he done bit a lot of lyrics too.
Why y'all being so blasphemous on this?
I'm just saying.
Well, you the one took us off topic. We was talking about Selena Montgomery and talking about the governorship, and you talking about Cardi B. Who ain't gonna never be governor or nothing?
Y'all ain't think Donald Trump was gonna be president either.
We saw that one coming.
I did not think he was gonna win. I woke up the next morning still waiting for them to do a recount.
No, we saw that one.
I thought he was gonna win, and I remember watching and laughing at first, and then getting really sad.
Because
it was funny to me until I realized, like, oh, shit, this is real. This is real life.
When you understand the nature of the thing, then you know what it's capable of. Donald Trump was the only logical choice for white people that spent 8 years being furious.
This is true.
True. We want our America back.
And for black people who were mad at Obama because he didn't come in with his super Negro.
Yeah,
they were stupid for expecting that.
Yeah,
well,
but people did.
They did, and they didn't know. They didn't follow up on Obama's politics. If you read Obama's books, any of them, you would have known that he was not ultra super black. I mean, hell, Michelle gave him his black stamp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
shout out to Michelle for giving him
his black. Black people.
He wasn't.
Right. He ain't come up around. He had to learn how to be black when he went to Chicago.
And he didn't even do that. He learned how to be black being married to Michelle, dating Michelle.
This is what you say. This is how you say it. Not shit, but shit.
Hold it out. You stretch it
here
out.
Here I am again about to get off topic, but if we think that I'm sorry, my ADD is bad. If we think that being raised by white people hurts your blackness, wouldn't it be safe to say that Meghan Markle is black because her mama is black?
No.
Or
that's
not
safe to say.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest. I don't really technically even consider Barack Obama black. And I didn't until he said he was a black man. And then I was like, all right, well, I guess you got black blood and you claiming it. So I ain't heard Meghan Markle claim it.
No, absolutely. She ain't said nothing either way. She ain't crazy.
And
hey, didn't they ask her to for the marriage before she married?
She said
black,
she was a strong mixed race woman.
Yeah,
but
didn't
they ask her to denounce her blackness or something? Or am I just tripping?
I never heard
that's a real
about
thing.
Okay, I'm just tripping.
Yeah, I don't think they probably did so without actually saying so, but I don't think they said that down and was like, say, Meghan, we ain't going to be able to do this whole black thing with you. So that's why I really like it. Wasn't that exciting to me because she doesn't categorize herself as being a black woman. So all this cheese and chicken in the palace and all this stuff, I thought was stupid.
I ain't even seen no black family outside of her mama.
Me either.
And her mama.
Y'all talking about Meghan?
Yeah.
I had to disappear for a minute.
Her mama was apparently there by herself. Dang, KJ.
Well, I saw
it in the middle of the show. Now we got to edit that out.
I'm sorry.
Keep it raw.
I'm sorry.
Video. You just come back in and act like you've been here.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to seem like I just won't listen. I'd rather y'all think I had to dip for a minute.
Over there talking to Plies.
I had to talk to this Kanye. I hate him, by the way. Like, let me just.
Hey. All right, for the sake of time, let's switch topics real quick. So, I also want to get you guys' ideas, you ladies' thoughts about what it is to be a black woman in America, what you enjoy about your blackness, and also the achievements that black women have been able to make in the face of white supremacy and all the other supremacies that black women face. So, KG, since you're coming back. Okay.
That was a whole bunch. Can we break
know,
those
down,
down one
by
one bullet point at a time?
So just
what,
like
I
what
think
it
I
is,
heard the first one was. Go ahead.
No, like what you got your ideas and thoughts and sentiments on what it is to be a black woman in America. Let's start there.
All right. So what it is to be a black woman in America? That's a whole bunch in itself. To be a black woman in America, I think, is to be the Well, all I can tell you is my perspective. Strong, resilient, boisterous, not loud, but boisterous, very outspoken black women. So to be a black woman in America to me is to always have to be two steps ahead. And that might not mean that you are ahead, but it means that you have to stay two steps ahead of everything or everybody else. So, to me, nothing is ever enough for black women. There's always something that, you know, we need to do better. We need to step up on. So I think we are in a constant stress mode. To be black and a woman in America to me is just stress. It's stressful. It's responsibility, and it is not very conducive to you becoming a singular individual black woman. You're always a black woman in America, all in one group. And I wish I could be more positive with it, but I feel like it's a stressful title to hold here, especially now, as the black community seems to be, or is, or has always been, whichever of the three is true, especially as the black community breaks down. I think it's always us that is at the forefront of, okay, we need to get it done, and black women, y'all need to do this. At the same time, I feel like all of that together makes us the best. I mean, I of course I'm biased because I'm a black woman, but I don't see anybody who can do the things that we do in the way that we do them and put on 6-inch stilettos while we do it. I don't. It's just step high, step lightly, step however you step. I always see us trucking. So we are, you know, that really, really resilient, really, really productive female force, and I don't think that there is anybody that is. And I'm done. That's it.
Yeah.
B-A-I-D-B.
That's right. That's right.
For your sets up. What about you, Miss Texas?
I'm gonna say being a black woman in America is being a villain and a savior at the same time. It's like we get blamed for everything, but we're expected to fix everything. So it's like people automatically assume that we can come in and save the world, but it's our fault that the world is on fire. Even though, I mean, logically we know that this isn't the truth, but that's how it feels a lot of the time. It's kind of like, I guess I would liken it to being a single mom. And if, say, she's struggling in some way, like maybe the lights off. Well, we expect her to keep the lights on and in adversity, but it's also her fault that the lights are off, if that makes sense. Like nobody thinks, okay, where is her help? It's like that people just expect us, and I think we expect it of ourselves to just be able to carry the weight of the world and not crack. We're not supposed to show any type of pressure. That's why I don't even like that whole, like, I don't even classify myself as being strong. Whenever I describe myself, I don't even use that as a word because I don't think that's fair. I don't want to be strong. I want to be able to show weakness and not feel like that makes me a bad person. Because I don't subscribe to that whole, like when people were saying, oh, Kanye needs a black woman to come in. No, he's not doing any of that. None of it. Like, don't expect me to come. I'm not fixing nothing.
Yeah, ain't nobody tell him to take his ass over there.
Right. That's the point.
I admire the women who want to go in and to go on, girl, fix all that stuff. I ain't fixing nothing. So, yeah, villain and a savior at the same time.
Because she my rock.
Exactly. Oh, God.
So.
That's why I hate that damn song. Well, other than the song being
true. We hate flies, but go ahead.
Well, yeah.
I don't. I cannot stand it. I cannot stand it.
Why is that
song
I like, do
we?
Nope.
I don't know.
Bust it, baby.
You know, I can't.
No.
Yeah. We ain't gonna give him no more time on this show. But
yeah,
hey, so
they want us to fix everything, but then they blame us with shit that we ain't even right.
Right.
Again, that's my perception.
So
I wouldn't want to be anything other than that, though.
Right, and so that's what I'm getting to now. Like, what do you love best about being a black woman?
The versatility. I love the versatility. Well, I can, because I can do anything. I can, and I mean, I'm going to talk from a hair perspective because hair is so much. But I can be straight. I can be kinky. I can be curly. So, I mean, I guess using that analogy, I can be pretty much anything, even though a lot of black women don't realize it. I think we can be a lot more than just what other women are. Like, you know, we joke because the school that I work at is ESL primarily, and we joke a lot about how the Mexican girls will tell you straight up when they come in, I'm only here until I'm 16, you know, when I have my quinceañera and I'm looking for a husband. So I think a lot of women are trained to be something. Like, you know, white women are trained to be a wife. They're trained on how to do this. I think black women are able to be a lot more than just what other women are able to be just by the fact that we have to be so much. And we do it. I mean, that's, to me, that's the best part of being a black woman, is just knowing that. Yeah, see, I don't mind, honestly, and I think that's just because that's what I know. I don't actually mind being
all things. I don't mind it. What I mind is you telling me what my all things look like. So, you know, if you're going to put in my path that I can do everything, you can't then complain about how I do everything. You can't tell me how to be a black woman or what kind of black woman I need to be. If I can be any time, you know, any kind that I want to be, let me be that and leave me alone.
I like when she said,
"Spoken like a true black woman and leave me alone."
I mean, hey.
I like when she said, "I can be kinky, I could be straight, and I could be curly," because that sounded dirty.
Morgan. Yeah, I did too. I did too.
We can be dirty though, and it's okay. We can be dirty too, and it's all right.
Nah, he gonna talk to Morgan Freeman at the end. And then Lee,
oh God,
Lee OG alone. Had the line on my dog, but anyway. But Dominique, what about you? What do you enjoy about being a black woman?
I guess I would have to say just following in the lines of all the black women before me. When I think about black women, I think about my grandmother. And, you know, even with a ninth grade education, she's still the smartest woman I've ever met. And she just made shit happen without even trying, without ever even thinking about it. And honestly, to this day, I still don't know how she made some of that stuff happen. But she did, and that's just the you know, that's my heritage. And I think that's in all black women. We just make shit happen.
Right.
And that's it. Yeah. I don't really think it gets any better than that.
So, all right,
now,
so you
hold
said.
Hold on, Joe. I got a follow-up.
Go ahead.
Because KG said we could be all things to all people, and they can be all things to all people because I'm not a woman. And Dominique earlier said that they're a villain and a hero.
Right.
But then Dominique turned around and said they make shit happen. Now, couldn't it be said that making shit happen is why you're both a villain and a hero? Because you make shit happen, but at the same time, you make shit happen.
We make shit happen.
Well, yeah.
I'm being silly.
But we make shit happen. But I want to address that only because what you said just now is the whole embodiment of the argument that I get when this whole issue about the black community comes up and everybody puts their fingers up in the air and points them strategically at us. We make shit happen. We made shit happen. But we weren't alone. Half the reason why we can make shit happen and why we always have to make shit happen is because we're left to do that. Just like Dominique said, I ain't trying to be strong. Now, I personally don't have no problem with it, but what choice do I have? I might actually mind if somebody gave me a damn choice. I don't have one. So I'm saying I don't mind, but that's because I don't know anything else.
And you're a mother. I'm not. So you don't have a choice. You know what I mean?
No, I don't have a choice.
I don't, and I'm not, I hope that didn't come off wrong, because that's not how I meant it.
No. Because you have to, too. Even though you said you don't want to be, you still have to be, to a certain extent. It's just not in the motherhood atmosphere.
I can fall a little bit, and I don't have anybody looking up to me. Or look, you know what I mean? I don't have anybody. I can just throw all this away today and decide I don't want to go live on the street. I'm not responsible for anybody. So it's a little different. You know, it would be different if I had mouths to feed. I got to feed my own mouth. If I choose not to eat, then that's my thing. But when I say I don't want to be, hell, I don't. I don't want to do none of this. if somebody would give me a choice, I definitely would not have. Yeah, I don't want to be nobody's savior. It's nice to have the option.
Okay, well, with you saying that kind of gets into one of the other things that I did want to talk about. I guess we can go ahead and talk about it now since you said that, because I hear it a lot that black women are saving America, black women are saving the communities, black women are saving the world. And two thoughts come to my mind. For one, Black women aren't required to save anybody. I just want people to make that clear. Like, in my mind, black women aren't required to save anybody. And two, black women shouldn't feel like they're required to save anybody. And I don't know where that mindset or that notion come from, but it's not black women's job to save America, because black women didn't mess up America.
It comes from parenting. Even, like, it's that maternal instinct. And because we have the children, and like my grandma used to say all the time, mama's baby, daddy's maybe, we feel like it's our responsibility, and people feel like it's our responsibility. Because when we get blind for things, it always starts with the single mother thing. So I think it's that maternal aspect of it. Like, we're expected to do it because we give birth to the kids. And the kids,
white women give birth, Asian women give birth, Indian women give birth, and white women kids be fucking up everything. Like, white women really need to get a hold of their kids, because their kids turn to serial killers and shoot up schools and bus depots and shit.
But you know what it goes back to, Joe, and I was trying to skirt all around it because I ain't feel like it. But it goes back to that whole narrative of the deadbeat daddy thing.
I mean, let me
clean that up. It's the assumption, and some of that assumption comes from us as well, that we have to be everything to our kids because they're not going to have a father. People don't assume that of other races, because they always assume, which we know is not true, that the father is in the house. So a lot of times people assume that, and even black women have this mentality, because I know you've heard me say it. I've always said I didn't want kids because I didn't want to be a single parent, as if that was my only option. Well, logically, I know that's not true, but that's just automatically where my head goes. But people assume that the other races are going to have the father in the home. And for us, the assumption is otherwise. So we, a lot of times, feel like we have to be mother and father. And
I get that within our community, but to me, not for the nation. It's not black women's job to be the mother and father of America.
Absolutely not.
You know, and that's my thing. That's what I keep hearing, and it's like, it's not black women's damn job to make America be America. Like these other group of people, they supposed to be so damn civilized. Where is it? It's not on black women to right the wrongs of white America. White America got to right their own wrongs.
And I'm about to say something that's gonna be an unpopular opinion, but I don't care. A lot of black women enjoy the gas. A lot of us enjoy that gas. Like the whole, like you were saying about the Moore election in Alabama. We could read those stats all day long and know that we didn't necessarily win that election. But the articles everywhere said so, mostly from black female, you know, blogs and things like that, because we enjoy the gas. So we complain. I don't give a shit. But we complain about having to be everything to everybody, but we also enjoy that role. And when I say we, it's because they're my people. So I got to put myself in there whether I agree with it or not.
I actually agree with that one. I was going to say a few minutes ago, I think that whole black women saving the nation, I think it's everybody and it's us. I was reading it. It's us. It's, you know, we also are shoving that narrative down everybody's throat. I was reading a book, rereading a book called God Don't Like Ugly by this chick named Mary Monroe. And in the book is about this little girl. She's molested by this guy that her mom brings home. But the mom brings the man home because, you know, he can pay the rent. She has problems paying the rent. She's like prostituting herself because the father walked out. The father walked out with this white woman, and when he did it, what she told her daughter was, well, your daddy, you know, he just got tired of being beat down. So, you know, he found something in a white lady, and it ain't right, but we just gonna keep moving. Like, almost as if to take the response, like, he did something wrong, but, you know, he just got tired of being beat down, so we gonna carry it, and we ain't gonna pay it no mind, which is bullshit. And I'm not saying this applies to every, you know, every black family or anything like that, but I think a lot of times we carry a bunch of responsibility so that we can say we carry a bunch of responsibility. Because you got women walking around saying, I'm a single mom, when they got people helping them. Like when they have, you know, when they have somebody who is a father. But you being in the house with some kids don't make you a single mom. Just because you ain't and the father aren't together doesn't mean you're a single parent. It means that you're in the house by yourself. That doesn't mean that
you're
nobody else
person.
Contributes. Yeah. Right, you're a single. You are single. The children are not from a single parent household. If two parents are involved, to me, even if they're not in the household, you still got two parent involvement in that child's life. You can't complain about being a single parent because you have assistance. So I think a lot, especially with that election, a lot of times black women are their own biggest enemy because we complain about having to do all these things, and then when it comes time to be able to share the recognition, we don't want to share it.
Nope.
I do like what you just said about, because that's been one of my gripes about that single parent statistic for a long time, is how it's defined. By census numbers and all of that, you're a single parent if you're not married with children. And so a lot of kids get, and households get swept under that rug, even though there's a father figure there. Father's something there, and the kids actually have two different energies to feed, that masculine and that feminine energy to feed off of. But, you know, that statistic has been bludgeoned down our throat, and I can't speak to how you guys feel. I think it's interesting to hear you two say that about black women wanting to carry, they want the praise. It's something you see. Like, everybody sees it. I think everybody sees it. But it's not anything that I think we think about on that. Well, I always assume if I see something, other people see it. So
you should not.
Yeah, they absolutely don't.
You should not.
That's funny.
So,
but
it was interesting to hear both of y'all say that, though, because I think it's deep on a lot of levels in terms of what we're dealing with in terms of a lot of discussions that probably need to be had amongst the community.
Yeah,
if I was to go on Twitter right now and say that black women enjoyed the gas, I'd be drugged from here all the way to hell. They would give me absolute hell.
Right, but you would fare better than me saying it, though.
Yeah.
Like, I would have to.
Oh, yeah, you get crucified.
What?
No,
but,
you survive it, Dominique. You survive it.
Yeah, you would. I'm not saying you wouldn't get your face stepped on, but they're going to step on your face with one shoe. They're going to run over my face with one of them things that they flatten out the concrete with in the street and stuff. Like, they're going to get trampled.
Straight
me.
Up. And the reason why I know that's true is because even as she said that, I said to myself, oh, I would probably agree with her. Like, I might be one of them lone black women. You're going to have a couple of black women who get up there and be like, yeah, she's telling the truth. If Joe said it, though, I'd be like, you don't get to comment straight up. And I thought it in my head before I even said it out loud. You don't get to comment like that. You can't say that. You ain't one of us. You know what I'm saying? You don't get to be on the sideline saying we enjoy the gas. You stand still. Even if I agree with it, I'm not going to agree with it when Joe says it. Not Joe specifically, but.
I even felt bad saying it in mixed company. And when I say mixed company, I mean around men. That's why I was like, I took a long time.
Well,
it's kind of like saying the N-word in front of your white friends. It's like, shit, now you're going to feel like you can say it.
We get it, though. I mean, I liken it to, like, when we're talking about issues in the black community in mixed company, and a white person will come up and say something, and we know what they said is true, but they said it. So it's like, nah, fuck
you
homie, you crack ass.
Yeah.
What you talking
about? You don't get it.
My biggest thing for that, though, is, and I've said it several times, As a man, I can't in confidence and just all cocky like go out and tell black women what they need to do to fix their situation when our stuff as men still fucked up.
That's true.
And that's just how I feel at the end of the day. Like, we got
especially for black men, we got a lot of issues that we got to deal with. And so I can't look at a woman and say, well, y'all need to fix this, this, this. I might see some things that I don't like, but I always have to check myself. And I try to be the person who ain't afraid to check my damn self when I need to. It's like, well, you can't really say that. Like, look at the men in your neighborhood. Look at all these things. Like, so, like, black men.
Ain't that part of the problem, though, Joe?
I mean, I'm not saying that we can't get to a point where we can check each other, but I am saying you can't be so quick to check somebody that you forgetting about what's going on in your own backyard.
No, I'm not saying we need to be checking each other, because I definitely feel like women need to check women and men need to check men. And that's just respectable cultural growth, cultural identity politics, whatever you want to call it. I think genders accept criticism better from each other, but I also think that becomes the handicap, because women see certain things in men that men don't see, and men see certain things in women that women don't see. So every now and then, we need to be able to come together and have a joint conversation about what's going on. It's kind of hard for women to tell men, this is what we as a collective need from you guys, if she can't at the same time tell a man, you fucking up. And it's the same with men talking to women. Like, it's hard for men collectively to say, this is what we need from you guys, if we can't tell them that they're fucking up in certain regards. I understand there's a way to say it, but I do think that the resistance to even having the mixed conversation is kind of a problem.
I get what you're saying. I actually do agree with that. My biggest thing is, because I don't think that we shouldn't be able to check the other gender. But the thing is, we shouldn't be so quick to check somebody because we see something that we're just totally ignoring what's going on within us. And I do think that we should be able to create a structured environment for us to be able to sit down and say, these are our needs from each other. So.
True.
I'm sorry, I had to put y'all on mute.
Because who better to
the delivery. It's in a conversation, and I've heard this time and time again, and I've learned how to button my mouth now, because now I'm starting to understand that there are certain things that happen to men that I don't understand. But in situations like conversations about rape, I've had where men be like, well, so what? Men have been raped too. Now I'm understanding that a lot more little boys have been raped than I ever really honestly thought. You know what I'm saying? And had I never heard stories, I would have never believed that women weren't the ones who were raped the most. However, when you bring it into the conversation, when you introduce it to me, and you're introducing it to me by saying, oh, well, fuck what happened to you, because it happened to me too, that's where we get lost. And I think that's the primary concern when it comes to women checking men and men checking women. It's the delivery. You can't say, oh, this happened to me, while saying, fuck you. You got to say, you know what, I'm sorry that happened to you, and include yourself. And it happened to me too. And I think until we do that, that barrier kind of stays there. Because I know I honestly and admittedly go on a defense when I hear men, especially black men, coming at black women as a whole. Because a lot of times the generalizations are true. And even if they are true to a certain extent, they're true for reasons that are actually legitimate. So you can't tell me, hey, you, like, I saw a meme the other day that said, I'm getting tired of black women who had fucked up fathers at home trying to tell me what a real black man is. Well, if I know what a fucked up father is, I know what you shouldn't be, and that should be my fucked up father. So why are you mad at me for saying, hey, this is what I had in my life, try not to be like that? What's the problem with me saying that? So because I didn't have a father, I can never tell anybody what it means to be a man?
Well, I disagree.
You see what I'm saying? I think it's delivery.
Well, that's ludicrous, because some of the best men I know haven't had a father, and they are more than capable of teaching others how to be a man.
Well, I come from a different school of thought where I honestly think women should have a large and substantial role in defining manhood. I honestly think their role in defining manhood should be to some extent larger than men's roles, because your goal as a man, one of your goals as a man, is to be what your counterpart needs you to be. And so it's kind of hard to be that if your counterpart doesn't have a say in what they need or what you're providing. And I think the opposite is also true in terms of men and women. So I come from a different school of thought. I think a woman should be involved in that decision. You know, this is what a man is. Well, how does she know? Well, it doesn't matter. This is what she needs. Like, you wouldn't go to a woman, if a woman is talking to her husband about what she needs from him as a husband, we'd all be like, he's a fool to tell her she don't know what she needs from a husband. We'd be like, you're a complete idiot.
Like, is she telling you, fool? Listen.
Right. So I just expand that out to a cultural level. You'd be a fool not to listen to women telling you what they need from men. That's a recipe to lose all of the women. Like, that's just a clear recipe for that.
The issue is that I feel like the majority of men in our community aren't really trying to have a female counterpart. And I mean in that
that's
they
a
want
good
a male
point.
Counterpart,
I
but
get
they're
you.
Not. Yeah, the goal isn't to have a woman as a partner. It's to have her as a conquest. So if you're just a conquest to me, I don't give a damn what you think about me.
Correct.
Well, you have to
change that thinking from when they're young. And women have a lot to do with that, too, in how they're raising their sons. Because women are the main ones that tell their sons, oh, you got to watch these little girls because they just, you know, and then they get that train of thought. So they're not looking at women like, oh, you know, I respect your opinion of me, or I want to be better for you. They think we have to get them. So,
well, I'm glad you said it.
Break.
I was getting ready to say, I think that goes for both boys and girls. And again, if you notice on how we just were talking about this, we were saying women raising their sons, which really shouldn't, that in itself is a problem, because at a certain point, you do have to step back and say, okay, some dude need to come along, because I can't look at everything from a male perspective. So no little boy's view of his own manhood should be coming solely from a woman. But women do the same thing to their daughters in the opposite fashion. So they tell girls, I mean, they tell their boys, watch out for these little girls, and then they tell their little girls, if a dude don't pay your whole rent, he not a man. So you're creating a situation where girls are thinking that they're supposed to depend on men for money, and then they're getting mad when they say, all right, I gave you this money, now sit down and listen. But that's the narrative you just played out. You said all he had to do was pay my rent, and he was the man of the house. You know, now when it gets skewed and men are saying, okay, I paid the rent, now bow down, now you're getting mad. So the whole scenario to me, the whole way that we are framing how you pick a mate, especially to kids these days, is all messed up, both on the man and the woman side.
Right.
That's true.
I guess I can't relate to that, because my grandmother didn't work, and she still ran the house.
Well, that was my grandmother's world.
Well, see, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I am just now within the last 10 years coming to the realization that across the board, black women didn't run things as much as I thought they did, or they may even do. I just may not know, because growing up, like you said, the women in the family ran everything, whether they had a job or not. Whatever, like right now, like whatever my mama said, and my mom is not the oldest one in the family. My Uncle Joe is the oldest one in the family. But whatever my mother says goes. And after her, it's my cousin Wanda. Whatever they say goes. And everybody knows that. But it's just like, I do think it goes back to the dynamic of the way that men and women are raised, and like you both said, the way that these young kids are being raised, the way that we're raised, like, people are not being prepared to be husbands, wives, all these different things. So the relationships are strained. People have been fed more about unhealthy relationships than any other type of relationships. So you feed me everything about unhealthy relationships, then question me when I'm not in a healthy relationship. And I think that's where a lot of this is going. And I do agree with what you all were saying about that role of that father is very, very, very important in that household, because you can't expect the woman to teach the young boy everything he needs to know to be a man. But that male element do need to be there, whether it's from the father or from some other male figure, to help, you know, get that child to that next level. But just shout out to the women who be holding it down.
Well, I think what you guys talked about too is why so many black men have a difficult time conceptualizing the need for black feminists, or the belief that black men have some sort of power structure over black women or stuff like that. Because when you look inside the community internally, I think most of us see women running shit. Like, women are the gatekeepers in our community. You know, there are men in leadership positions, like at the church or whatever. You know, most of the pastors are men and stuff like that. But, like, my household as well, and every household I've seen that's been a black household, grandma, big mama ran the shit. Like, grandpa was there, or he wasn't. It didn't really matter. Grandma ran shit. And, you know, in my household, when my mom was with my dad, she ran shit. Now, I know, like, she would always be, like, behind closed doors, "Yo, daddy, blah, blah, blah." And I'd always be like, "Mom, you full of shit. I know what's going on behind closed doors. You running shit. You just don't want me to think less of him." You know, because so I think that speaks to that as well. So when black women, and that's something that needs to be looked at as well, because our culture is largely has a lot of maternal leanings. So when we start getting into this patriarchal overarching structure of society, you know, that creates other problems in our community that aren't being addressed because we aren't talking. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. You know, what I was saying is that my grandmother didn't want to do that, though, and she even told me that. So it kind of goes back to, we want to do everything, but we don't really want to do everything. My grandmother told me not to. My grandmother told me not to marry a man that would let me basically run the house. She said it gets tiring. She's tired. She don't want to do it no more. So
I think we should marry. You should, like, your partner should be a partner. Like, it should be 50-50.
Yeah.
Like, because as a man, and I'm going to say this, and I know a lot of dudes going to be like, "Bro, you tripping." I don't always want to run shit either. The shit is
Nobody does.
Yeah, it's tiring.
If anybody say they want to run shit 100% of the time, they lying.
That's
tiring.
Like, I don't want a woman that wants me to take care of her. Just like I know that most women don't want a man that they want to. Look, we partners. Let's build some shit together. 50-50 down the middle. Let's make some real shit happen. When you get tired, I got your back for a period of time, temporarily. When I get tired, you got my back for a period of time, temporarily. But we building this shit together. You know what I'm saying? This shit is not an N, it's an M. We put the shit together and we go to McDonald's. You know what I'm saying? Hey, number two. Sorry.
I don't think what that means, though. Everybody is quick to say, yeah, I agree, when you bring that sentiment up. But, like, okay, so my mom my grandmother was a beast. Just, she ran everything, and she wanted to run everything, and that's how she wanted it. So the only exception to Joe's rule about somebody not wanting to run everything, I think, is my grandmother in New York. She wanted to run everything. Like, she did not have a problem with it. If you didn't want her to run it, she was mad at you. She would never say, "If you did, yeah, I need some help." She ain't say it, because she really wanted to be in charge of everything, even though she did not work. She wanted to be in charge of everything, and I think my mom looked at her and said, "I don't want that, But at the same time, because that's what she saw, that's what she embodied. And I told her the other day, she was like, well, I think I want an alpha male. I said, no, you don't. Because if you did, you wouldn't want to be in control of everything. She said, I need an alpha male to be able to operate. Because she kept saying that, you know, a lot of times what turns her off about men is the fact that they don't handle anything. You know, like they leave it all to me and I have to make all the decisions and, you know, I get tired. And I said, well, I see what you're saying, you know, and this is me talking honestly to my mama just based on, it's the difference between me knowing my mama when she was my mama and me knowing my mama now that I'm a grown woman and she's a grown woman. It's like two totally different outlooks. So I've had to come to grips with some of the things that I see my own mom doing that I'm saying to myself, now, why would you do that? When she said that, I had to kind of jump back and tell her, you're saying that that's what you want, but that's not how you act. Because if you really want somebody that's going to be your partner, then part of that is understanding that when they make decisions, they might not do it exactly the way that you would have done it, you know? So if they're making a sandwich and they cut their sandwich down the middle, you can't get mad because you cut your sandwich down the side. That's simplistic, you know what I'm saying? But I think a lot of women say they want help, and then when they get the help, they deny the help because it's not the help in the way and in the form that they wanted it.
That's
and I think
true.
Men are the same way. I want help. I want, you know, I want my wife to work, and I want, you know, I want us to be partners, but I still don't want to do laundry, clean dishes, or cook, or and you the nurturer of the kids. So everybody's expectations of partnership, I think, can be skewed. I think that's where that gets mixed up at.
Well, that's where we have to talk about what Joe's talks about often, positive relationships. We got to talk about compatibility, and we got to talk about maturity, because if somebody's doing what you want, but they're doing it in a way that you absolutely can't stand, y'all might not be compatible.
Correct.
All right. Yeah, and I don't want nobody watching my draws. They my draws. I'm going to watch my own draws. So
I'm not
going to
watch your draws, so that's fine.
They're good.
I want you to wash my drawers. How about that?
The freaking me don't mind that, but, you know, but that's a little different.
I mean, I don't have no problem. Like, it ain't like we back in the 1870s and I got to rake your drawers over a metal board or nothing like that. Like,
right.
Yeah, I just throw them in the machine.
Throw somebody drawers in the machine.
Doing laundry.
Somebody's doing laundry.
It's not
I
that
just don't want nobody touching my panties.
Hey, I mean, that's cool. I mean, when I folded my wife's drawers one day, she came in and looked at me like, what the hell are you doing? It's
playing with your drawers. I mean,
yeah, that's,
I don't need your drawers.
Exactly what it feels like, somebody playing with your
I had a boyfriend do that for me one time. I was ever grateful. You want the pay I got on? Just for you watching my drawers. I don't mind at all.
Throw them drawers.
I was not playing in her drawers. I was.
You ain't put them on your head.
I was legitimately folding.
They were folded up in
neat little squares.
You ain't look around and take a sniff.
No, I did not.
You are
they
all like,
I don't understand
when
they are on my phone.
They just came
out
the washing
machine.
They
better smell good. Right, they better smell good.
You practicing.
No, like, if I want to smell her cooch, then I smell her cooch. I don't need draws for that.
Don't try to act like you ain't nasty.
Oh, it's the essence in the draws. That ain't the same as the up close and personal anyway. That's just the essence.
Hey, yeah. And I ain't say I wasn't nasty. I'm straight up. If I want to smell your cooch, bend over. Spread your legs. Lay down. Whatever. Why do I got to sniff draws for the person that I'm married to that I live with? I don't understand men that do that.
That's creepy.
Look around
there. I just don't like touching panties.
Hey.
That's freaky.
Just thinking about it's giving me the heebie-jeebies.
If you want to come around, how you want to come around here and fold some draws, I ain't about to stop you.
No, I'm good. Leave my panties alone.
It ain't like it's going to hurt my feelings to not fold drawers. When she said don't do that, it was not like I started crying. All
right,
cool. You can fold the rest. Right. I'm going outside.
I'm trying to help.
Yeah. I'm with her. Leave my panties alone, sir.
Sure. You can fold the rest.
You ain't got to tell me twice.
You do
Please
not.
You
ain't even got to tell me one whole time. You could just hint at it. I was done from the way she looked at me.
Right.
Hey, I didn't know that was a big deal.
In my mind, I got y'all hands dirty.
Damn.
What?
So you would let a man touch your body, put his hands in your body at the top and the bottom, but he can't touch your drawers.
Touch your drawers.
Doesn't make a lick of sense, I know. But just in my mind, it's like you just going to have these filthy nails and these dirty calloused hands, and you touching my panties, and I'm going to put them on and get bacterial vaginosis. And I just don't want you to touch my body.
The same hands the same hands he finger you with.
There you touching your face with.
I know it doesn't make sense.
You know, that's weird, because I had...
She said she understands.
I had I had these girls tell me one time at this high school I was volunteering at. They said oral sex is nasty because you're putting it in your mouth. And I was thinking to myself, so you would let a man put a dirty dick in your vagina, but you won't kiss it?
The same way people that say kissing is too intimate. And I'm like, but a penis in your vagina is not intimate. But
yeah,
okay.
I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We can have sex, but we can't kiss. Wait, what?
People are different. People are different.
Yes. So let me have my weird train of thought.
It's real weird. If you tell me that I can't fold your jaw because my hand's dirty, I'd be the dude that'll probably not touch you again. Unless I wash my hands. And it wouldn't even be on some nasty shit. It'd just be like, if she feel like my hands too dirty to touch her drawers, then before we have sex, I need to go wash my hands. And I ruin the mood.
I have friends like that, too, that have to go take whole showers before they have sex.
Hey,
that would be my preference. Yeah, that would be.
Hey. Yeah, I do not need you to take a whole shower because I don't really want to take a whole shower. I need for you not to smell bad. So if you work construction, then you know, you come home. But if you work at an office, get naked when you come home. We'll take a shower afterwards. I ain't got.
He was standing outside too long.
How did we get?
Did he feel like the outside? I get it then.
I don't know how we got the sex, but we got over there.
Just don't touch my panties. Anyway.
Y'all crazy.
Like,
hey, but
This is a great conversation.
So all our listeners, you know what you got to look forward to when Wine at the Nine come out. And these are two ladies who are going to be putting it down on the Wine at the Nine. And as you can see, you got a lot to look forward to, and don't touch somebody's drawers who don't want their drawers touched.
Don't
That's
touch
what we learned.
Don't
touch
drawers, but you can run them all through her mouth if you want to.
That's rule number one.
She'll suck on your fingers, but you still can't touch her drawers.
That's the rule.
Look at
it. Does not change.
Hey, but man, look. As y'all know, Freedom Train Network. Visit us at our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. We're still in our last final days of our Black Women Celebration Month, so make sure you go to the website, click on the tab that says Black Women Celebration 2018, and read every profile. It's going to be 31 at the end, but like 33 at the end of the month, and rolling over a little bit. But read every one of them. Support all the women. Make sure you support our Women of Tea Time. Make sure you support our Wine at the Nine when it drops, and make sure you support the Freedom Train Network overall. Y'all got any parting shots before we close it down?
Mm-mm, I'm finna go get something to drink for real.
Ooh, get that hand, dog. What about you, KG?
I'm with Dominique. I'm not gonna wait till 9. I'm gonna go have my wine now.
Hey, it's Memorial Day. Memorize all that stuff. Pat, we know you power to the people, right?
Power to the people.
Power to the people. So with that being said, two fingers in the air like a player, split them apart, and just let you know, we out this piece.
I'ma spit this time when the music drops.
Okay.
I'ma need all y'all to stick around like the Marvel movie just ended and you waiting for the scenes after the credits.